so I want to take a few moments today and talk to you about what to do when you feel like your setback seems irreversible. Let's define the word setback for a second. Let's define the word setback. Setback is a loss of progress, a defeat of a plan, or the reversal of a purpose, right? A loss of progress, a defeat of a plan, a reversal of purpose. And so today, that's what we're going to spend the next few moments talking about, is what do you do when you feel like your setback is permanent? Like, how in the world am I ever going to climb out of this hole? Well, to answer that question, we're going to follow the life of a person in the Bible, a man in the Bible named Job. In fact, he's got a book in the Bible named after him, and it's kind of almost in the middle of your Bible. Let me tell you a little bit about Job. Job was the wealthiest man in the world. He was important. He was influential. He had power. He had money. And in one single day, he lost all of his sons and all of his daughters. In one day, he lost all of his children. In one day, he lost all of his livestock. In one day, natural disaster hits and he loses all of his harvest. All of his harvest. Like, that's a bad day. Things are going from bad to worser, right? Things are just really, really bad. He loses everything, his wealth, his family. He becomes deathly ill, like in his own physical body. His body becomes full of an incurable and painful disease. Wealth, health, family, he loses it all. Talk about having a bad day, right? Talk about having a bad day. And if you want to read this story and the story behind it, it's in the book of Job. But everything went wrong in his life. And when his setback seemed irreversible, look at what it says in Job chapter 30. Look at his statement of faith here. This is describing the sentiment of the story. Job chapter 30. He says, "But when I hoped for good, evil came. When I waited for light, darkness came. My inward parts are in turmoil and never still." Have you ever been like so sick to your stomach or so anxious or so stressed that your stomach was in knots, like things were just moving around that shouldn't be moving around? That's the anguish of his soul that he's describing here. "My inward parts are in turmoil and never still. Days of affliction come to meet me." Talk about having a bad day. And there's no doubt that in a room like this, that there's some people who feel like Job today. You've lost, maybe lost it all. Health, wealth, family, everything. At the end of Job's story, he gains it all back in an even greater way. And so I hope today's story, as we walk through the life of Job, will encourage you that no matter what setback you're experiencing today, God is still the God of the comeback. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at five things that Job did when his life fell apart to put his trust in God. Five things Job did when his life fell apart to put his trust in God. And so we're going to use the word trust as an acrostic for five things that you and I can do when life just seems to be unraveling and things aren't going well or right, when we feel like our setback is irreversible. So first of all, the T in our acrostic of trust, T is tell God exactly how you feel. Tell God exactly how you feel. You'd be surprised how many people as a pastor when I talk to and they're going through grief, they're going through pain, they're going through loss, and I talk to them, I say, "Well, have you prayed about it?" "Well, no, I don't want to bother God with it." Right? That's exactly what God wants you to do. Tell God exactly how you... God doesn't want you to just grin and bear it. He doesn't want you to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. He wants you to talk to him and tell God exactly how you feel. The first thing you do when you're in pain, tell God that you're in pain, that you're in loss, that you're lonely, that you're grieving. God's shoulders are large enough and strong enough to handle our emotions, even when you're disappointed, even when you have doubts, even when you have fear. You can go to God and you can say, "God, I'm kind of afraid right now. God, I'm really sad right now. God, I'm lonely right now. God, this thing I'm going through is terrible. God, I don't understand what's going on." All of that is fine. You can go to God with honest emotions. Notice Job's reaction when disaster hits his life in Job chapter 1. Here's what it says. This is how he's being honest and telling God what he's feeling. Job chapter 1, he says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe," right? A Middle Eastern custom of anguish, of turmoil. And then it says he shaved his head. Again, another reaction of expressing emotions and feelings. And then he fell on the ground and he worshiped. He began to tell God and he worshiped. And he remembered the character of God in the middle of his turmoil and his anguish. He's acting in total humility in his moments of despair. And anytime you have loss in your life, any kind of loss in your life, you and I, we go through five natural emotions, right? When I've walked with families in our church through grief and they've lost someone they love, and I'm meeting with the family and we're walking through a grief process, like these are five real emotions that you experience anytime you lose something that you love dearly, you're gonna experience anger. That's a real emotion. Why? Why did this happen and why did this happen to me? Anger, it's a real emotion. You're gonna go through grief, just that deep sense of loss, grief, like, oh my God, I've lost so much. I've lost a part of myself, grief. You're gonna go through shock, right? Like, no, like, this isn't really happening, the shock of the moment. I don't believe it, I don't believe it, I don't believe it. If you've ever gone through grief or you lost somebody you love, you go through that denial and that shock. You're gonna have questions. Like real questions. Why? Why now? Why didn't things work out? Why? We prayed and we asked, where's God? Why? I just don't understand why. Why? Those are real questions in those moments. And fear. Fear. Like, what do we do next? How are we going to make it? How do we hold things together? Fear, right? Anger, grief, shock, questions, fear. Those are all real emotions, and those are real emotions that God wants us to express to him, to tell him. We can tell God exactly how we feel. Some of you that I've walked with grief through before, you understand, I've told you before, God can handle your emotions because God created you with emotions. We're made in the image of God. God has emotions, and he knows our emotions, and he wants us to express those to him. Job was so brutally honest with God in Job chapter 7. Listen to how Job was honest with his emotions before God. He says in chapter 7, therefore, I will not restrain my mouth, right? He says, I can't be quiet. I got to tell God. I got to get this off my chest. I got to express it. I got to speak it. He says, therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Right? He's just being so honest with God. And I think the right response to loss, to tragedy, to disaster, to death, is not to just grin and bear it. God never wants you to fake your emotions. God doesn't want you to put a happy smile on your face when things are breaking and aching on the inside. Never, never, never. God wants you to be honest and true with your emotions. And you can tell God, and you can tell him, God, I'm grieving right now. God, I'm hurting right now. God, I'm lonely right now. God, I'm in pain right now. God, I don't understand what's going on right now. We can be honest with God in our emotions. The first step to trusting God on your comeback, to turn that setback that seems so irreversible, is to tell God exactly how you feel. Next step is the R, refuse to become bitter. Refuse to become bitter. It's okay to tell God you're mad, and it's okay to tell God you're sad, and it's okay to tell God you're angry, and it's okay to tell God you're depressed. It's okay to express your grief and your frustration and your worry to God. But here's the deal. God never wants you to pull the emergency brake up and stay there. When you stay there is when bitterness and resentment wants to make its way and creep into your heart. Bitterness is saying, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm mad at you and I'm bitter at you. And bitterness is like a poison to your soul. Job didn't stay in anger. He didn't stay in distress. He didn't stay in grief. Job was able to see that God has a bigger picture. God has a bigger picture of what's going on. He says in Job chapter 1, when everything bad happened to him, when his day went from bad to worse, he says this in chapter 1. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. I'll pause right there. I'll finish reading the passage in just a second. But Renee and I, we have four sons, and I was in the room when all four of them were born, and I can vouch for what Job is saying, right? They were born naked. They had no clothes on them. They had no Jordans on their feet. Like they had no toys in their hand. They had no electronics. They had no portfolio with a bunch of money in it. Like they came with nothing. And I've done a bunch of funerals, and I can vouch for what Job is saying. At the end of the life, when that body's in the casket, they're taking nothing with them. Naked I came, naked I will return, right? He says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I want you to underline this. If you got your Bibles open in Job chapter 1, underline this. And the next part says, in all this, Job did not sin. You know, when we study the book of Job, you'll find out that the main question in the book of Job is, will you love God when things don't turn out right? Will you love God no matter what happens in your life? Will you love God no matter what happens in your life? And that ultimately is the test of your faith. Will you worship God even when things seem to go wrong in your life? You see, we're not promised, you and I, we're not promised a perfect life. This is not heaven. In fact, Jesus said, you'll have trials and tribulation. Like, we shouldn't be shocked when bad things happen. This is earth. It's broken by sin. And your faith will be tested. Listen, an untested faith really is not a faith at all. Right? An untested faith is really not a faith at all. And there's going to be times that things happen in our life that we just don't understand. Why do bad things happen to good people? That's the question that we ask. And it's in those moments that we have to come back and say, you know what? Life's not good, but I'm going to trust that God sees a bigger picture. Here's what I know. Here's what I know. Life's not good, but God is good. And I can take that to the bank. Life's not always good, but my God is always good. And so I can trust in the character of my God. So what do you do when your heart's breaking? What do you do when you feel like your setback is so irreversible? How do you put your eyes on God when they're full of tears? The antidote to bitterness is worship. Say it one more time. The antidote to bitterness is worship. You heard Renee just kind of summarize a story that was years of her life when she was walking through incredible, excruciating pain, not understanding why. Her dad just kept reminding her, worship God through the pain. Don't become bitter. Don't become bitter. The antidote to bitterness is worship. When we focus on God and we remember His character. Here's some things that I know are true no matter what happens to me. And in my life and in your life, we've had some high highs and we've had some low lows. And these are some things I know are true no matter what is happening to me. Number one, I know God will never stop loving me, right? God will never stop loving me. Number two, God has a plan for my life. I know that. Whatever is happening to me right now, God never stops loving me. God has a plan for my life. Number three, I know this. God cares about every detail of my life. God, I don't know how many times we pray, like, God, do you even know? God, are you aware? Right? Where we're going through the pain, and those are our emotions. Like, God, hello? Do you see? I'll tell you this. I know it. God cares about every detail of my life. Number four, I believe this. God is in control of all things, even when I don't understand it. God is in control of all things, even when I don't see it. God is in control of all things, even when I don't understand it. I know God is in control of all things. Nothing happens to my life that first aren't filtered through the hands of a loving God. God is in control of all things. And number five, God will protect me. I know my God will protect me. And those are the things I can build my life on when my setback seems so irreversible. Now, if you're going to break through and break out from your setback into your comeback, you tell God exactly how you feel, you resist bitterness, and you realize a couple things. First, we just kind of said that this is an imperfect world. Everything has been broken by sin. There's going to be plenty of disappointments to go around in life. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to become bitter. Trust me, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to become bitter. Let me say it one more time, because you and I have these emotions. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to become bitter. We don't get the promotion at work. Our kids don't get the award that we think they deserved. People break their promises and stab us in the back. Relationships go sour. We lose people we love. We pour our life's investment into a business startup that fails. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to become bitter. Don't be surprised by that. This is a broken world. But second, you can remember this, that bitterness and contentment are both choices. Bitterness and contentment are both choices. In every moment of every day, you and I are choosing. I wake up in the morning and I can choose. I'm going to be bitter and resentful today. Or I can wake up in the morning and I can choose happiness and contentment today. There are choices that I make and I can't choose both at the same time. I'm going to walk in bitterness or I'm going to walk in contentment. There are choices that you and I make. So let me ask you this question. As your pastor, as someone who deeply loves you, someone who prays for you, what choices are you making when life seems to bring afflictions? Are you choosing to walk in bitterness and unforgiveness? Are you choosing to ask God to help you walk in happiness and peace and contentment? There are choices that we make every day. So in my journey to the comeback, I refuse to become bitter because the bitterness is a poison to my soul. Here's a third truth. Unite with other people who will help me focus on God. Unite with other people who will help me focus on God. Right? I'm gonna pause here for just a moment because I think this is crucial. For any comeback, you're gonna need other people of faith to back you up. When your faith is weak, you need other people who have a faith to strengthen you, to encourage you, to remind you of some biblical truths, to pray with you, to hold you up. This is why it's so important, why we say so often that the best way to be connected at Life Church is to be in a life group. The best way to feel cared for at Life Church is to be in a life group, because a life group is your safety net when life happens. And we know life is gonna happen because it's a broken world. Those are the people that are in your corner, that are praying for you, encouraging you, reminding you of God's word, right? God never intended for you to go through life on your own. God never wants you to go through grief or sorrow or tragedy or loss by yourself. He made us, he wired us with a need for one another. But here's a problem, and I've seen this too often as a pastor. When somebody's going through grief or loss or pain, so many times they isolate themselves. They put up walls and barriers. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's pride and they don't want people to see their business startup failed. Maybe it's pride and they don't want people to realize that their marriage and their family is crumbling. Maybe they're just insulate themselves from other people knowing what's going on. I just know as a pastor, I've seen it too often that people retreat and they pull away and they isolate themselves and they put up walls. Can I just tell you the other side of it? The enemy knows that if he gets you all alone, he usually wins. And so God never designed us to go through grief and sorrow and pain and alone. We need each other. One of Job's friends comes alongside him when Job is going through tragedy and gives him great advice. This is Elihu's words in chapter 36. His friend tells him, "Beware, lest wrath entice you into scoffing, and let not the greatness of the ransom turn you aside. Will your cry for help avail to keep you from distress, or all the force of your strength? Do not long for the night when people vanish in their place. Take care. Do not turn from iniquity." You can underline or circle that word. We're going to describe it in just a little bit. But he's saying, don't turn to escapism and sin to bring you a momentary pleasure in your pain, right? We're going to talk about iniquity in a second. "For this you have chosen rather than affliction. Behold," now here's a transition here. His friend is helping him focus on God. "Behold, God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? Who has prescribed for him his way? Or who can say you have done wrong? Remember to extol his work," right? This is his friend helping Job refocus from his pain to God, right? This is a good friend right here. And then he goes on to say, "of which men have sung." He's saying, listen, there's people all around you that are singing of the great work of God, the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. Another translation says, "and unite with them," right? There are plenty of people who are still worshiping God. Go Go be with them. Unite with them. What a great friend. Where do we find those kinds of friends? Well, first, in a weekend worship service like this, where you're at right now, we're joined together with other people in worship. In worship. Worship has a way of taking our eyes off of our setback and putting them on the God of our comeback. Worship. Worship. Another place we already mentioned is in a life group. Your safety net when life happens. People that will help you, pray with you. I got plenty of examples from my life when I've gone through stuff and I needed the people in my corner that were in my life group that were encouraging me and praying for me and holding me up when I couldn't really stand on my own. Job's friend points out a couple truths here. First, here's his first piece of advice. Never use evil or never use sin to escape pain, right? That word iniquity that was in there. He said, you know, you don't try to avoid pain by doing drugs or getting drunk or doing something foolish like having an affair. You and I, we probably know plenty of people who become very self-destructive when they're in pain. A lot of people who are very self-destructive when they're in lonely or in pain or in stress or in grief. Maybe they even know it's wrong, and they do it anyways, trying to relieve the pain or the stress that they find themselves in. The Bible says, you're only going to make matters worse, make the problem worse. So Job's friend says, don't escape and run and go do stupid things. Second, Job's friend tells him a better alternative. Rather than running and doing dumb things that you know aren't going to fix the problem, why don't you turn to God? Rather than turning away from God, turn to God. And look, and here's a whole bunch of people over here who haven't turned away from God and they're worshiping God. Let's go unite with them. So I'll just say it as honest and as clearly as I can. If you're facing a setback in your life today, the path back is to get back to Life Church each week and worship with other people. And then the S in our trust. The S is surrender my future to God. That's exactly what Job does in his comeback. Anytime you have loss or you have a failure, you have a setback, what paralyzes you is not grief. What paralyzes you is not pain. What paralyzes you is fear. When we have a fear about the future, when we have a fear about the unknown, when we have a fear, and oftentimes people come, sometimes even well-meaning, and they whisper their advice in our ears. That's not necessarily the advice of God. And what they say might even cause even more fear in our life. It's Job's case with his wife. Listen to what Job's wife says in chapter 2. This is his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." What an encouraging wife, right? Man, we just need more encouragement like her. Curse God and die. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak." Listen to his statement here. This is his surrendering his future to God. "Shall we receive good from God and shall not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. I love Job's response to the problem, the setback that seems so irreversible. Lost his children, lost his crops, lost his livestock, lost his health, has lost everything. And he's saying, "I don't like it. I don't understand it, but I surrender my future to God." In fact, in Job chapter 13, verse 15, and you can write that reference down in your notes. It's one of the famous verses of the book of Job. He says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That's Job surrendering his future. "God, whatever you choose and however you choose it, I will trust you. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That's what surrender looks like. That's what surrender. Not, "God, here's my plans. Do things my way. In Jesus' name, amen." That's not surrender. "Though he slay me, God, whatever outcome you have, yet will I trust you." You know, I know that I belong to God, and I know that these things are true, that God has made me, that God loves me, that God has my best interest at his heart, that God is in control, that there is more to life than the here and the now on earth, that one day I will spend eternity with God in heaven. And those are the things that bring me peace and hope and comfort when my setbacks seem so irreversible. Because I know the kind of God that He is. I can trust in His plan, surrender my future to God. And then let's finish. Let's review real quick. Tell God exactly how I feel. Refuse to be bitter. Unite with people that will help me focus on God. Surrender every detail of my future to God, or surrender my future to God. And number five, trust Jesus for every detail of my comeback. Trust Jesus for every detail of my comeback. So what Job did when he lost everything, he lost his family, he lost his health, he lost his wealth, he lost his influence, he lost his position, he lost his power, he lost his authority, but he trusted God, and God engineered the greatest comeback imaginable for his life. One last verse, and we'll close with this. Job chapter 42. The story of Job ends like this. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now that's a comeback right there. And the Lord gave Job twice, double as much as he had before. That's a comeback. God doubles what he lost in the setback because he's the God of the comeback. It's as if God is saying today, would you like to have double for your trouble? Right? He's the God of the comeback when we put our trust in Jesus. Let me invite you to bow your head and close your eyes with me for just a moment.